Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, in which we watch an episode of the Golden Girls, and then we dissect it scene by scene. Dissect it like a frog. Like a frog in science
lab. Frog? Maybe a shark? I dissected a shark one time.
Whoa, is it a baby shark?
It was a baby shark. It was the cutest dissection ever.
Oh, it was a jaw dropping dissection. And I'm Anthony Desimito.
I'm Genevieve Rose.
And today we have an awesome guest. We're so happy to have him. They're very awesome. Isaac Cozell.
Hey gang. Yay! Hello.
Yay. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here.
You're in the middle of a giant road trip tour. Yes. Wow.
Yes.
All the way from Louisiana.
Yep, New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans.
The napping in the desert tour?
Desert naps. Mm-hmm.
Desert naps, yeah. Yes.
I just had so many characters. Like, napping in the desert was my first choice, but I only had so much room on that poster. So.
Nice. It's just you, like, cradling a tumbleweed and covered in that sand.
I actually, you know what? It's kind of scary. I stop in the desert a lot driving across Texas. I do sleep there. That's true. But I got into some brush the other day that was needles, like active needles that like shoots needles into your legs.
Wow.
You guys know about this?
Oh, no. My God. That is some roadrunner shit.
I pulled off. This is going to sound like a made up story, especially because of how fast I'm going to tell it. But there was I saw a rock, a giant rock in the desert that somebody had painted Fraggle Rock on. And I was like, I have to take a picture of that. That's too cool.
Okay.
So I pulled off and I went out and took a picture of it. And then I had to pee. So I went over to this like kind of brushy area to pee.
Okay.
And I walked through some brush. And then all of a sudden my legs started like burning really bad.
Oh.
And then I looked and my pants and my shoes were full of these little needles from some type of a low-lying plant that protects itself by like releasing sharp needles, but they were like
porcupine plant.
Yeah, they had like little like fish hook things on the end. They were really hard to get off, and I kept finding them in my pants when I was driving.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Dude, that's crazy. So do you think that Fraggle Rock was like a decoy? Like, yeah, these guys are gonna fall for it.
Yeah.
Really? Do you think that?
Like probably. It's a trick. There's a webcam that's set up and they just watch people. Look at these idiots. Trying to take pictures of Fraggle Rock.
It sounds like a modern day like Wile E. Coyote kind of skit where like instead of like painting a railroad on like a side of a mountain, it's like Fraggle Rock.
We specifically want people in their 30s to wanna take a picture of this.
Except instead of exploding, I just get back into my Yaris and drive slowly away. That's it.
And so we usually start by asking our guests, like, what is our Golden Girls background? When did Golden Girls impact their lives?
So Golden Girls was on when I was a little kid, and I remember my parents watching it, and I would watch it with them, but I didn't quite get it. You know, these look like the old ladies that I went to church with, and I didn't understand why it was funny, and my parents were concerned. I could tell that they didn't quite want me in the room, and I didn't know why. until I watched it like 20 years later and was like, lots of sex jokes. Like, really, like a lot of like, right. And then a lot of political issues, a lot of things that they didn't want to expose me to at that age.
They were very liberal in their issues.
Yeah. And like, I had a super ultra conservative upbringing, and even watching it now, I'm surprised my parents watched it because of some of the stuff they talk about.
Right.
But yeah, so like there would be like anytime Blanche would like release a double entendre, I'd see my parents start to laugh but not want to clue me in on why it was funny. So then they would look at me, they kind of lean back over the couch and okay, he's good, he doesn't get it.
It was their guilty pleasure.
Yeah
I knew they were being dirty. I just laughed. I don't know. I was like 12. I wasn't like 5 or anything. You might have been like 5.
How old are you?
I'm 27.
I'm 35.
Yeah? Oh, okay.
Wait, you were 12 when it was on?
No, it was not. But that's when I started watching it on syndication.
All right. Like, I was seeing this stuff like for the first time live. Like, I was like in grade school at the time.
Yeah, I'm 33, so yeah. I was pretty young. I was about 3 when it premiered, but I used to watch it like all the time.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think part of it was just the cadence of jokes. Just seeing,
you just
like,
knew it was funny.
Yeah, you just knew.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I know something's going on, and I want to be a part of it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's like the beats are really good, and a lot of them like are like old school joke telling, like kind of like old, almost like vaudevillian stuff. Like they just, I don't know. They're
Well, they're like it's sugar for a kid because like it's. You know, you got these over-the-top characters, just super loud. They're colorful. They're just cartoon characters, these women. And so, all right, so we watched an awesome episode of The Golden Girls. I enjoyed it a lot. It was the Ocean's 11 of Golden Girls episodes, if you will.
Yes.
Especially because it had a Mr. George Clooney in it. And so this is at the beginning of the heists, man. Maybe he turned over a wrong leaf sometime between here and then.
I know. This is an ironic episode.
It was.
Yeah.
It definitely was. And so maybe he teamed up with Martha McDowell. It was an inside job. So we watched season 2, episode 24, To Catch a Neighbor. That is the title. The original air date was May 2nd, 1987. So 8 years ago, sort of. And so we
28 years?
28. Is cuz I'm turning 28 and I
would have been 7 years old and I'm 35 now.
Yeah, so 28. Oh shit, yeah, 28 years old.
Yeah, okay.
And so with every episode we start off by doing Genevieve will do a brief synopsis of the episode for the listeners who did not watch the episode.
All right. So the ladies have new neighbors, the McDowells. They come over for dinner and are very pleasant to everyone except Sophia, who is mad because they overstay their welcome. And but turns out the Popo are on their tail, and they're jewel thieves. Two detectives show up at the lady's home and want to live in their home for a few days to monitor jewel thieves. And ladies aren't too happy about that, but eventually they give in and decide they want to help out the long arm of the law because the two cops are very handsome.
Very long arm.
Very long arm. And of course, one of them is George Clooney.
Woo!
Which
I'll be there. I'll be that girl.
Yes.
Oh, me too. I'm totally into it.
No, it's great, and no one sleeps with them, and it's very sad.
Right, that we know of.
Yeah, that we know of. I don't know.
I think Blanche blew him at least once. I don't know. There was some. We'll talk about this. There was something weird.
I just about released a spoiler, but I really want to wait because it's like 3/4 of the way through the episode.
Right. So we'll talk about that.
Yes. But yes. So there's. It's a stakeout. It's a stakeout. The ladies
tube,
are
it's a tube
embroiled.
Stakeout.
A tube stakeout.
All right. Thank you, Genevieve.
Well, I'm there.
Okay. So we go scene by scene. And so the first scene is in the living room. And it's the end of dinner. The McDowells, they're very normal. They're like they're very like cliche neighbors. They look like their kids are off to college. And they're just like, they have time to be friends with their neighbors now.
Yeah.
And it's
they're
like
empty nesters who just got comfortable in the nest. Like that's where they're,
yeah. So we're going to go out and reach into the, we're going to move to Miami. And so they look really normal and really lovely. Martha especially was very nice. I would love to go to her house for dinner if I didn't know she was a gem thief.
Do you think they're like really nice gem thieves? Like, do you think, I mean, you can be a jewel thief and be a nice
dick.
Person.
Oh, yeah, you
and
can
have like a nice Miami home, probably with a hutch and serve a good casserole.
Right. Like you can be like a drug lord kingpin and just like be really into hosting parties. That's just, you know.
You can be a good neighbor. You can put your trash cans up early and
they were not very smart. They were not like they didn't keep it on the DL. They were not like Jared Fogle trying to keep it on the DL because he didn't talk to his neighbors, remember? He was like, all of his neighbors said, he doesn't talk to us. Did you guys read about that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I did not read about that.
Yeah, he was a very private person. So, I mean, well, he got caught.
For good reason.
Yeah. Maybe his neighbors were the Golden Girls.
Can you imagine him every morning going out to get the paper? Like, hey, neighbor, what's up? No, I just jerked off to kids. Okay. Like,
I mean, you want to come over?
I just had sex with a teenager. It was fun.
Yeah. You guys try Craigslist?
Right. He's not going to be friends with anybody. Okay, so it's the end of dinner, and Sophia's wanting them to leave. And you know what? It was weird because I would have expected Sophia to be like, I told you so. I felt something was weird about them.
Right.
And mm-hmm. they never did. So Sophia right off the bat is like, these guys are up to fucking something, you know?
See, I didn't pick up on that. I didn't think that she actually knew something was going on. I just thought she was irritated and really? Like her... Sometimes she seems like she has like a little bit of like an Asperger's-y quality where she just like says something, like just blurts it out and it's what everybody's thinking. Yeah. But when they said like, oh, we didn't mean to overstay our welcome, and she was like, too late, and then just goes and opens the door for them to leave. Like, it's...
Did they think that they had gems that they could steal? Like, oh, these old ladies probably have some sort of jewels in which we can jack or something. Maybe that... They wanted that. I don't know.
I don't know. They do talk. I mean, throughout the series, they've talked a lot about jewelry.
Yeah. So maybe. So then...
They're fashionable ladies. That's all I'm saying.
Right. And then there was, like, this part where Dorothy says, I'm skipping ahead. But there's another ring on the doorbell, and it's Detective Mullins and Bobby. And Sophia answers the door, and it's this older actor named Al Mullins,
played by Joe Campanella.
Great actor.
He's the best.
I've seen him before, but I didn't know his name, or you know, had him categorized as someone I know.
He's got a little bit of a Maury Povich quality.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah. Oh my god,
he's totally Maury.
I recognized him from Mama's Family. He was a bit character in Mama's Family.
Oh really? Yeah. What was his character?
Yeah, but yeah, it was like a teacher, like a night school teacher or something.
He would be.
Yeah.
He seems like he would play a straight character.
Yeah.
At all.
Mama's
times.
Family. That's. An underrated piece of my history.
Oh, it's the best.
It's one of my grandma's favorite shows. She's like, I like that woman because she tells the truth.
Yes.
I used to go home with my grandma after church we had church on Tuesday nights and Thursday nights, and I would stay with my grandparents both nights and go to my grandparents' house, and on our local Fox station, they played two episodes of Mama's Family back to back at 10 and 10:30, and my grandma would make me pepperoni and crackers and Sprite, and the Sprite was in a bowl, and I would dip the crackers in it and put pepperoni on it.
Is that something you preferred, or she just made...
No, that's what I like. No, she didn't enforce this on me. Eat your Sprite crackers. No, Sprite crackers. I liked it. I thought it was good. It's soft.
Do you still eat that?
Oh,
no. I haven't thought about it in a while.
Oh my god.
This is like bringing back memories. It's so weird. I don't talk about it very often.
Yeah, I used to watch it at my grandma's house all the time because my grandma's like she was my babysitter, and my grandma is like she's a wonderful cook. She used to cater weddings and stuff like that. And I would have her make me Hot Pockets.
Oh wow.
She would make them in the oven. Oh, she had the perfect oven for it, and they were always perfect. They
crispy.
Were never She wouldn't microwave them. And I feel like an asshole. The worst thing you could have your grandma, who's a professional cook, make is hot pockets. Pepperoni hot pockets.
But she probably wanted to make you happy. And like, so
I know, and I feel so bad.
Have you apologized to her?
I need to. I need
to officially. I'm sorry for all the hot pockets you made at home.
Grandma, you could have made me fried chicken, German chocolate cake.
Oh, man. My grandmas did not want me to eat. They did not cook for me. They're like, stop eating. They were not. Like, I would open the refrigerator and they would hear the separation of the magnetic strip and the refrigerator, and they would just be like, what are you eating? And I'm like, oh, shit. Sorry. God. They just hog the food for themselves. Anyway, we're a very poor family. Okay, so Dorothy automatically wants to bone this dude. But I don't know if we know that yet. She doesn't reveal that she wants to bone him. But Blanche definitely wants to bone them.
Both of them.
Blanche and... Oh, she wants to bone... Yeah, which Blanche, is so
cause
weird.
Because Blanche says... Because they were like, they present that they might need to do a stakeout and they want to stay at the house. Like, could we use your house to do a stakeout?
Mm-hmm. Tube stakeout.
And tube stakeout.
Yeah.
And then Blanche is like, yes, you can both stay in my room.
Yeah.
And then somebody puts up a protest. Like, just like, maybe this isn't a good idea. And I don't know if that's Dorothy or not.
I think it was Dorothy.
That's
she
some
was
foreshadowing.
Against it.
That's some foreshadowing
against
about her liking Al.
Mm-hmm.
And then Blanche says, oh, okay, you can keep the boy, which is George Clooney, the
right.
boy.
The boy.
Yeah.
Bobby. Such a boy's name.
Also, these guys are Miami PD.
Yeah.
Straight from Gotham City. Like, they both come in. I don't know about a Miami accent, but they come in, and he's like,
right.
I'm Detective Al Mullins. And then, like, Bobby's like, hey, Detective Mullins. Like, he's got, like, this, like...
I understand his accent.
I didn't either. Because... I feel like he was, like, a Brooklyn, like, beat cop or something.
Because his mom, he's from Oregon... His mom lives in Oregon.
That's right.
So I'm like, yes. Where is your accent? Because
he hasn't
from?
Had a good home cooked meal in a while. Yeah.
Oregon home cooked meal.
Yeah.
Crackers and pepperoni.
Tillamook cheese.
Tillamook cheese. Man, because you know the original Oregon cooking is super famous. I didn't understand. At some point, it seemed Southern. His accent was a little.
Yeah.
Like it was a little like, I'm just like following him around and, you know, but I wasn't really sure.
He actually has three accents. So there's a little Southern thing. There's that little bit of like New York or Chicago thing. And then later on when he's like, there's like an intimate moment, which we'll get to later on,
mm-hmm.
where he is just like the nicest man. And he's talking like this and he's telling his
like
life
a normal
story.
Person.
Yeah, it's very weird. He's not very good in this episode.
But then he's like, not very good.
Clooney kind of blows it.
Clooney is a baby in this episode. He's in his 20s or 24 or 25. But yeah, in that scene with Blanche, like there was towards the end when. And then at the very end of his normal talking, he switches over to Southern when he's like, I don't get a home-cooked meal a lot. Can I stop by? And then I was
have thoughts on this, by the way. Yeah. I'll get into this later when we get into that part of the episode.
Yeah, I was very aroused and very confused during that. We'll get to it later. All
right. Did you guys ever notice in The Notebook, at the beginning of The Notebook, the two main characters have really heavy Southern accents. And then at the end of the movie, they're like, to you every day, and they're talking normal, and
they're
just screaming.
They're both Canadians, and they're both like, I don't know, I don't. I've seen The Notebook once, so I guess it's like
I've never seen it. I've never seen
it. Watch The Notebook and pay attention to the accents and how within the span of like their 7-year relationship, they become less Southern for some reason. But they are both Canadian.
No, Nicholas Sparks. Movies or it's everything takes place in like an idyllic pan Southern community, and that's it's the worst.
It is the worst.
It is pretty bad.
It's that movie began this whole slew of bad movies,
though. I have to say, of the Nicholas Spark movies, it's probably the better one.
The Fault in Our Stars.
Is that Nicholas Sparks?
Yeah,
was it?
I thought that was another guy, a young adult author. Yeah, Nicholas Sparks movies would be like, there's one with Amanda Seyfried, I think, and some military guy. Okay.
Like, they're all just a blur, right?
It might be completely wrong about
a blonde woman in the country falls for a beefcake, and it's there's that moment where they hate each other. And
somebody listening to this is screaming out the name right now as if you just committed a crime.
Safe Haven is one of my favorites.
Safe Haven?
Safe Haven is
really
it's a ridiculously bad movie.
It's a really bad movie.
It's Julianne Hough, who I don't who's very
from Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, who's lovely looking woman. I don't think she has a central nervous system.
she's a worm.
Yeah,
her nerves are everywhere.
Her eyes possess a guileless that just tells me that she doesn't have thoughts. Like, she's not evil, but she just
she's thoughtless.
She can't harm you, but she doesn't have yeah,
so,
she's
so like a bird, you know.
She's like a bird.
Yeah,
she's a bird.
Not much thought, but maybe could hurt you. I don't know.
She could not. She not cannot purposely. Hurt, not she purposely. Wouldn't purposely, but she...
Right. Instinctively no. hurt you.
No. She's the one who dressed up as Crazy Eyes. Crazy Eyes for Halloween.
Oh really?
With yes. the blackface?
Blackface. Oh, yes. God.
Oh, shit. Yeah, she
so
is
she thoughtless. Can hurt people. She
yeah, hurt emotionally.
People. Yes.
Racial like, sensitivity-wise.
Like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, how did you not know that was not okay? Blonde, blue-eyed woman.
Oh, she probably thought that no one was going to take a picture of her and post this on social media. Anyway, so we got on a tangent. So right after the gem thieves leave, these cops knock on their door like they were waiting for them to leave. Like, that I found that really odd. Like. They just left and you're just knocking on their door.
Yeah.
You know, like, were you outside waiting in a car? Like, what was the deal there? You know,
it
was
very fast. I felt like they maybe were already on a stakeout and then they were waiting to like, well, we need a better vantage point. So we'll use their house as the stakeout point. Cause they were definitely immediately right at the door.
Right. And I was kind of like confused because I was like, don't they have other neighbors? Like it had to be that house, you know, like, I don't
mean to break down the fourth wall, but these are the only neighbors with a TV show.
Yeah.
That is true. That is true. But that option was never brought up. And so, like, Dorothy could have said, what the fuck? Well, there's other neighbors, you know? And so then these detectives reveal after Blanche says that she would like to fuck both of them. She said, like, I can arch my back until my shoulders touch my feet.
Like, basically she can like turn herself into a pretzel for their pleasure was what she was saying.
In fairness, that's basically just like Blanche's standard monologue when any man enters the house.
Yeah, right.
She's just like,
I can just straight up fuck you.
I mean, it's basically like her spiel, like, you know, like when you go to like some restaurant like Boca de Beppo and they ask you if you've been there before, and then you say no, they like give you like a standard, they're like, all right, we'll go to the kitchen, we'll tell you about how we make our food. That was kind of like what she had there. It's like, yep, I can put my feet behind my head and yeah. And
speaking of neighbors, they will have neighbors with a TV show, Empty Nest, in 2 episodes. Is the Empty Nest episode. did you know about Empty Nest as a spinoff?
Do you think they
Golden
moved
Girls?
Into the Jewel?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Is it the McDowells? It's not the Jewel Thieves, is it?
No, oh, it's not the Jewel Thieves, but it's like, it must be their other neighbors. Because they have tons of neighbors.
Well, their other next door neighbors are those dicks that, with the trees.
The dicks that okay, they have so many neighbors in the series. Like, they have
those are like
Frida Claxton, who they shared a tree and they went to court for it to tear it down. And then they had the other neighbors that had the palm tree that fell into their yard.
Yeah.
Now they have these neighbors. So they just have 1,000 neighbors endlessly.
I feel like the Jewel Thieves are like one of their better neighbors.
Yeah.
To be quite honest.
They seem nice. Yeah. They seem really nice. I feel like maybe if they were Jewel Thieves, they were like the Robin Hood of Jewel Thieves, that they would only like steal from the rich, but they also wanted to have like good relationships with their neighbors. I don't think they would steal from their neighbors.
I don't think so either.
You know,
you're
don't
right.
like it's like you don't shit where you eat, right? So it's like I don't think that they would be stealing from the old ladies next door.
They're stealing from like museums.
Yeah, like dodging under laser lights and that. Like, that's how I want to picture the McDowells. I don't want to think of them as like that they would just steal from these ladies.
Martha's big coif mullet like touches a laser and activates the alarm.
You know what else is
or
crazy?
Or she has like
is
a lipstick like... that or like a lipstick that detects lasers or She has like a can of hairspray that she goes.
It's like a fog screen.
Right.
Oh, this is great.
This is all like old lady fucking like gear that helps her.
But it's all spy gear. Jewel thief gear.
Jewel thief gear, but for old ladies.
It's also weird that like where we're at, I don't know how this thing goes time wise, but we are literally like 45 seconds into the show.
I know.
Plot wise, we know we haven't gotten anywhere.
The first scene is always the longest for some reason. Okay.
Exposition, guys.
Exposition, right? And so, yeah, we are 45 seconds in. So the cops reveal that they're jewel thieves, and they need to stay there, and they agree that they can stay there. And so that scene ends, and the next scene, they're at the kitchen, and there's tons of like radar material devices on that kitchen table.
Yeah.
Over the top radar devices.
Yeah.
Like, they were like... Like, he was, like, landing a plane.
It was like what are we going to do with the rest of the set of war games? Let's just put it in their kitchen. Like, it was all right. Weird Atari-style, like listening equipment.
It was from, like, Star Trek. Like, there was, like, little graphic, like...
Yeah.
Like, Pong was playing in there. It was just, like
the little digital screens had, like, goofy graphics. Yeah.
Kind of, and it was just, like... And then the lights were shining. Like, it was, like a radio light board. Like, the phone calls were coming in or something. And it was just... Over the top.
All the buttons were lighting up like a Simon game. Remember Simon?
Yeah.
It was just like in sequence, these buttons keep lighting up. We're like, what are all those buttons doing?
What are they doing?
Being on stakeout is boring. There's a lot of lag time. So honestly, you got you gotta build in a game of Pong.
He's playing a video game like while he's listening to those people.
He's also wearing a pair of headphones that has to weigh 80 pounds. Like, these are the biggest headphones I've ever seen.
Oh my god, huge. And Sophia's fucking with him. And
she's calling him her life.
Yeah, she's just fucking with that dude sitting in front of him. Like, I would hate to see her have a dog. She'd just be throwing that ball, pretend throwing. But, like, she's calling him a Bosh Galoob. And then Blanche comes in and she's like, they start talking about how Dorothy totally wants him. And in front of him, even though later we find out that he can hear them.
Yeah.
And so she goes into this monologue about, like, the lust erupting together and their passion is going to just take over and how they're going to, like, fuck. Like, basically saying
that. And
then
she squirts herself in the face with a Mister bottle that she'd been watering plants with because she's getting so hot about the idea of, like, Al Mullins and
fucking
and
Dorothy Zbornak is so hot.
As we've needed to talk about, we've talked about on the podcast before, like, basically, Blanche is only satisfied when someone's getting fucked in this house.
Right.
It doesn't have to be her, necessarily. She would prefer to be her, but any other sexual activity or passion will help satisfy her.
That's a good point. I never thought about that.
We believe that she is powered by sex, regardless of her having sex. Like, she's a sex, like, I don't know, like, robot.
She's like, I think she's kind of like the plant from Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, that's what we described her as.
Holy shit.
Feed me, say more.
God. Yeah.
So, oh my god.
So yeah, she's down. She's DTF, guys. And everyone else. Okay, so then Dorothy, she says that they're gonna fuck because of the fighting. The fighting erupts into the flames of desire or some shit like that. And so Dorothy comes in and she starts fighting with him. Like, they're just dysfunctional. Like, they're just gonna, like, fuck.
Like, well, he calls her. Like, what happens is he needs to go outside for some reason. But they're like, well, maybe he shouldn't be standing outside alone. That's gonna blow their cover. And then he says something like, oh, yeah, it would be good. Like, maybe I could just be a friendly, like, male visitor, but it would be better if I had somebody with me. Yeah. And then he, like, slaps her kind of hard on the shoulder and says, come on, Dottie, and, like, smacks her.
Like a hog.
Yeah, and she, like, throws, she's like, fuck you. Like, yeah. Like, just immediately, like, no, don't touch me like that. And he starts to walk away, and then she stands up and goes, like, I'm crazy nuts for this man, which I don't see her let loose that kind of passion that often, and she was, like, on fire for this dude.
When she gets horny, it is a heavy burden to see. It is very aggressive.
Oh, you don't like it? It's a you call it a heavy burden. Like, you, is it a lot to say?
Just like she gets like, oh god,
she does.
Oh, I'm so horny.
She's like a reanimated Frankenstein monster. Like, it's like she does have like a weird energy about her. Like, yeah,
yeah. And so it's very strange. And
she's
then,
like an eagle.
Yeah. She does look like an eagle.
A horny eagle.
In a beautiful way. Yes, she is beautiful.
I think B. Arthur, she's a very handsome woman, but she's got like this talon quality
and that's
of an eagle.
Handsome. I like that you use the term handsome because I think that Joe Campanella, who plays Mullins in this, is so handsome. Mm. And as a couple, what a power couple looks-wise. If those two walked into a room, they're like two statues. Like, they're so beautiful and stoic. And like they have this, like, I don't know.
They would be great on the red carpet.
Yes, they would.
Yeah.
They can command a room.
Right. If they, yeah.
With
they
their
would.
Talons alone.
Scout their ego talents.
Again, I mean that in the nicest way. I really do. I want to make that clear. When people say that B. Arthur is ugly or unattractive, it makes me crazy. I think she's gorgeous. Right. Like, she's gorgeous. I think it's unorthodox, but I. That's all I'm going to say. That's
fair. Yes. That is fair. Okay, and so then Rose comes in and she's like, I saw the fucking McDowells at the grocery store and I followed them around and I wrote down all of the food that they wanted and then Martha later on, we find out that she knew that that Rose was following her around, which brings me to, like, if she is so self-aware about Rose following her, wouldn't she become suspicious of Rose next door?
Great point.
Like,
that there's a stakeout going on.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then she invites them over to the house, which I would not go because obviously she found out that I was following her.
But here's a weird thing about that scene. So, like, I was trying to find this earlier and I had to watch it. After we watched it the second time, I saw it. Okay. So she says... She comes back into the kitchen. Rose comes into the kitchen and says, I was following them around at the grocery store. Like, I was following Mrs. McDowell, and I was, like, looking at everything they were buying. And Mullins was like, why are you doing that? She's like, I don't know. Maybe there are clues there, whatever. Then that scene is done, and it's supposed to be a new day. And then Mrs. McDowell knocks at the door.
That is true.
And she says, hey... You know, basically, I saw Rose following me around the other day, and she acts like she doesn't mean anything to her, just like I saw that, but everybody's wearing the same clothes.
That is insane.
So it's like, it was just like a flub, because they're all, like, it's the day before, and
maybe
they're all...
Rose got lost for 2 days, and she could not find the house.
Everybody comes into the living room, though. Mullins is wearing the same thing.
Everybody is wearing the same thing. Yeah. So that was definitely a fuck up. Like, time wise. And I did not catch that. That's great.
But I will say this, as someone who has elderly neighbors, I feel like it's pretty normal for it, like, basically people to follow each other around.
Yeah.
And, like, at the grocery store. Like, yeah. I feel like that's.
They would follow each other, or she would say, hey, how's it going?
I mean, my neighbors have said things to me like, you guys sure are up late.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You guys buy a lot of napkins. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's
they're nosy. Nosiness is common.
Yeah, it really is. I feel like that's part of Miami.
Right. And then Martha, she's not very quick to get it. Like, what is happening? Also, I think she's a bad gem thief because of that. You know, she's not suspicious of them at all, and they're at the door. She's at the door. This is the next scene. I think we're at that point. And so they're all very like, oh, you're here.
Yeah, super awkward.
And then these cops come in, super cop looking, and she still doesn't get it. And Sophia makes up the lie that that's my grandson and her son, right? Yeah. And so she didn't question that at all. And so I think Martha deserves to have gotten caught because she's fucking dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, dumb AF. And anyway, and okay, so in this scene, I love the part where Sophia says that they are here for fishing, but all they've caught is a cold.
And George Clooney sneezes,
and she says, I work alone.
That was quick great. Thinking on Sophia's part.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so she invites them to a dinner party. The next day, the next evening. Mm-hmm. Was it the next day? Yeah. And which I would not go to because that would be dangerous. Like, they could fucking kidnap you or kill you. Okay. And because she, but she's dumb as fuck. So maybe she doesn't know. She doesn't get it. Okay. So then the next scene, they're in Sophia's room and Dorothy can't sleep. She's nervous about going on the mission. Because they decided that they're going to do it. And so, am I skipping anything important?
No.
Okay. And no. So, she's so Dorothy's going on the mission. And it's kind of for Al. Because she wants to bang Al. And so, Sophia tries to give her advice. But not very well. She's like, she's trying to give her a story. But she can't remember. Like, she just can't recall a good story to help her out because she can't relate to this.
She tries. She even says, picture this, and she's just like, I don't know. I can't do it.
I have nothing. Yeah.
There was something that happened there where they're both in bed together, and I don't know if Dorothy said, like, there's a commandment that says, thou shalt not lie. Do you remember that Ten Commandments thing? Yeah. They start talking about the Ten Commandments, and then Sophia goes into what is part of a George Carlin bit. Where, like, they're talking about, like, not lying, and then Sophia says, well, you know, these Ten Commandments, I don't know if that's not actually one of the commandments. Thou shalt not lie. That's right. Not a commandment. And then Dorothy says, well, really? And Sophia says, no, the commandments are, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. And then she says, wait a second. Those two could have been one. And that's a George Carlin bit, like, about, like, condensing the Ten Commandments.
So was that a reference to George Carlin?
I feel like it was. Maybe it was a nod. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Right. Those Golden Girls writers are plugged in today's comedy.
It was a nod to George Carlin and also a knock on the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, there you go.
There was anti-religion girl comedy. I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Before Christ? Yeah. Maybe you guys could have been more concise.
Come on, BC. Get it together. And so then that scene ends with Sophia saying, get some rest. Tomorrow could be your last day. Which is pretty fucked up to say to your daughter, like, yeah, you're going to get shot. Also, one of the things that I don't get is, like, how she was so eager to go on that stakeout, you know, on that mission. And then later on, she's against missions, you know? That was really weird to me, but we'll get to that part.
Oh yeah, actually, yeah. I'll make a note about that. That's a good note.
Cause yeah, that didn't make sense to me. And so also there was that whole thing about, like, that's kind of weird, is that Al knew that Dorothy wanted to fuck him the whole time, and really didn't do anything until they were at the hospital. Like, cause he could hear Blanche describing how they were gonna fuck. Basically,
he did invite them out. He did invite her out. For a smoke, he said, Dottie, come out with me.
Do you think that they started just making out there?
I don't think they did anything.
They were just kept fighting.
Yeah, because as it developed, no, I think she just stood there awkwardly and, like,
with her hot clit just sweating it up.
Ooh. Ooh. Maybe her clit is an eagle talon. It's
She wanted, it was a Mexican eagle because it was grabbing a snake.
Oh. Is that what Mexican Eagles do?
Well, the flag.
Is that the flag? Yeah, is it the Mexican Eagle grabbing a snake?
Grabbing a snake flying over a cactus.
Oh my god, that's the most badass.
Yeah, our fucking flag is badass.
That's great.
Suck it, Stars and Stripes.
Right.
Yeah, no kidding.
Suck, yeah.
We got like three colors and stars. Yeah, who gives a fuck?
Right.
That's good. We have murder on your flag.
We got snake blood in the claws of a bald eagle. Yeah, we win. Just kidding. Okay.
You're doing in the flag game for sure.
The flag game, we win. Yeah.
Sorry, Betsy Ross.
Betsy Ross, you suck.
I know. 1776 sewing was not. They couldn't do. I feel bad. You couldn't do basically like an eagle with a snake and over a cactus.
They didn't have the technology of Mexico. The embroidery art of in Mexico. Anyway, so the next scene, they're in the living room. They're getting ready for the dinner. They're all dressed up and they're sitting on the couch. And Rose is upset because there's a great show on TV Guide, a great movie on TV Guide. I'm sorry. What was the name of the movie?
In Cold Blood, it's a Truman Capote novel based on an actual murder in Kansas, a very brutal murder. He wrote the first creative nonfiction, whereas it was basically fiction based on an actual event.
The first one?
Yeah. And there was a movie. Yes.
And that showed I felt like that showed some incredible depth in Rose's character that she likes in Cold Blood so much, because like she's always so ditzy and talking about like her goofy upbringing in Olaf and all that. Yeah. And like when she was like, no, this is like really good. Well, I was like, oh, she has a whole other side that we haven't explored yet.
She's into forensics.
Yeah, I feel like as far as a Truman Capote fan, she'd be more of like a Breakfast at Tiffany's. So I was really surprised. I was like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Well, maybe after this whole gem thief, she started getting into like crime and watching Murder, She Wrote and stuff like that.
I do feel like Rose always has like that element of crime in the back of her mind. Like she's had multiple getting thrown in jail fantasies.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, where like if she gets thrown in jail, this is what she's gonna do. And
she has a whole like plan when she goes to prison.
Yeah. Also, speaking of jail, there was that weird scene where she reveals that her father used to be a police officer. Only on the weekends.
Yeah.
And the only crime in her area was that everybody had poor dental hygiene. And so like the father and the cop buddies would just take goofy, I think she says, like they would just spend the weekend taking goofy pictures behind the bars making faces like this, and she does a face that I've never seen Betty White ever make in her life.
And probably
I want a gif of it. I want like a gif or a gif, whatever. Yeah, yeah. I want that, like, yeah,
we gotta do it. We will do it. Okay,
we'll do it. We'll take a picture.
I want it
like
so bad.
Her face, it's very Quasimodo. It's like,
yeah,
you know. Yeah. Okay. And so they're very nervous, kind of. Bobby and Al come in, and they're like, let's go over the hours. And then Rose does that bit where she's like, at 1800 hours, we're going to do this. At 1830 hours, I'm going to sit down and talk about these skunks and her uncle or some shit like that. Yeah. And then that's going to take, and then Dorothy says 1900 hours, which was, it was a great joke. I like that joke. And then like Al sort of like gets down on one knee, and Dorothy is like, she's got the eagle clit, and she's just straight up eagle clit. Cause he's got like his bulge basically on her face, and then he's like, here, take this, and it's a transmitter, just stick this under a table and you'll be fine, right? And so she's just like, I think that's how he gets old ladies to do his fucking dirty work for him in the fucking detective world. He just like uses his, you know, suave skills,
his handsomeness
yeah
his handsomeness to get
His ego cock.
His ego cock.
Because if there was any hesitation for her to like to take this transmitter and plant it like under the table, I think that like that's a really great way for him to make her do it. Is like maybe I'm proposing. No, it's just a transmitter, but she's gonna feel shitty about saying I'm not gonna take this. I thought you were gonna propose, so she's just gonna agree. Like, oh, okay, my bad. Yeah, sure. I'm in for the mission. Sure.
Definitely.
I don't love you. I don't want to like you know. I don't want you to like bite my ego clit. I'm just gonna go here to this mission.
Yeah, like definitely there is some some psychological, you know, because they're doing like they're at risk of, you know, they're in danger. They're putting themselves in danger, but then there's also this love element to it, which is basically every James Bond film, you know, it's just like they're in love and they're in danger and they have to choose over love and saving the world and shit, you know, so it's very correlated with that whole scope of fucking storytelling. And so they go to the dinner. We don't see it, which I was disappointed. I wanted to see
likewise
the fucking dinner.
What happened to the actors who played the McDowells? Like, how come we see them for literally 15 seconds?
Yeah.
Like, we never see Mr. McDowell again. He's in the opening credits, basically, and then he's gone.
Yeah.
And then she shows up one more time.
He'd not have a line.
Mr. McDowell, I think, is the better jewel thief because you don't see him for very often.
He's out like, stealing jewels all the time.
He's now you see me, now you don't. That's why I'm a good jewel thief.
Yeah, I just thought that was weird that like they never showed them again. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of very loose plot points related to the McDowells, and it would have helped if we would have maybe seen what their house looked like. Or like, you know, I pictured they would have like at least one pedestal with like a glass dome over it with a giant like pink diamond or something.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, where'd you get that? Oh, you know, it was gifted to us or something.
What blew my mind is like why they didn't... There was no questioning whether or not like... They didn't ask, how do you know they're gem thieves? Like, what have they done? What do they have? Drugs? Do they have guns? What danger do you know about them? And there was nothing that was, it was just looked over. Like, there was no, I don't understand why none of that was brought up.
Yeah, what were they doing on the stakeout? I feel like the guys were too distracted by the ladies to actually do a good stakeout, because as we'll find out soon, they were very ill prepared for this bust. Like,
My God, they were. One was laying down, the other one was he dozed off, and then he like. We'll talk about this.
Okay.
Anyway, it was really insane. Okay, so then they come back in. We had no idea what happened. They could have even gone to the wrong house. Who knows? And so they come in there like giddy and happy. And the window is open, by the way, which they said they'll be watching us through the kitchen window. And their window is open. The lights are on. And the McDowells could have probably seen them inside through the kitchen window and fucking seen what they're doing. Like, and so they're super excited. And Dorothy, it was a success. They were very happy. And then so Rose puts on the headphones, which at this point they start getting really comfortable with the equipment. Because Rose puts on the headphones and she's trying to listen. And she's like when you're like that, like I wouldn't, they just let her do that shit.
Yeah.
She says,
hey, they're talking about some noodle head in a red dress. Is that code language? And she's wearing a red dress and she has to be told that that's her, the noodle head. The second insult I've never heard ever. Like, I've never heard anybody... I wasn't familiar with the term. Was it, like, Bajia Galoop or...
Bajia Galoop.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
And it's then like I never heard in Italian. Noodle head as, like a slander.
And I think that's how gem thieves cuss.
Yeah. They're noodle head, for sure.
Noodle heads.
Yeah.
They're gem thieves, but they're still middle-aged white people in the 80s. They're gonna say noodle head.
Yeah.
or maybe she was talking about his dick. I don't know. That's not a dick word.
That's not noodle.
That's not a good word. Dick word.
That's not good.
Yeah. Okay. And so then, and also George Clooney has a full conversation with them while wearing the headphones, and nobody, like, no one questions that. Like, he can hear them at that point. And so Dorothy stays behind. Everyone goes to bed. Everyone stays behind so they can, like, talk, her and Al, and about how successful the stakeout was. And Dorothy starts to, like, play around with the fucking receiving equipment.
Yes. This very expensive equipment that is sitting on the table. She first starts dusting it with her, like, finger. She's, like, dusting out, like, in between the, like, buttons.
I'm guessing scraping, like, sauce that probably fell. Yeah. I'm imagining some of the tomato sauce from earlier when he was eating spaghetti.
Eating pasta, yeah.
She's cleaning it, and then she starts actually twisting.
Yeah. Nervously, and, because they're talking about the potential for their relationship. Like, right. he keeps teasing it out. He says, Dorothy, there's something I'd like to tell you. And she says, yes, Al. And she's, like, you know, scraping, like, you know, whatever, like, fingernail gunk out in between the thing. And then he says something kind of like, this has been nice to be here.
This has been nice.
And then she's like, oh, okay. She goes back to, like, twisting the knobs. And he says, Dorothy, I have another thing I'd like to tell you. Ooh. And then she's like, what is it, Al? And then he's like,
that knob is my dick.
It just, like, keeps building and nothing ever happens. I wanted them to knock $10,000 of equipment off the table and just start fucking. Like, I would just do it. Go for it, Dorothy.
Come on, guys.
I've got the love bug.
The sexual tension in this episode was hard for me to handle. Like, I'm on the road right now. It's like, I need
it's
to.
It's confusing.
I think this is our most blue ballsy episode.
It's a very blue ballsy episode.
For real.
Yeah, especially with Blanche, with her blue balls monologue. I think that was a moment when, like when an actor just does a scene over so much that they forget that, you know, earlier, like, the prop is not, you know, like, yeah. They just use the prop incorrectly because they just stop caring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or the detective was like, these buttons don't do anything, so you can play with them like a fucking kid. You know, like, mm-hmm. Here you go. Play with these buttons so you can leave me alone. Or they were giving them lessons on how to use this equipment because they were so bored. They were like, hey, learn how to use the soundboard. I don't know. That's my reasoning. I'm sorry I'm rationalizing.
No. But I felt like it was...
Everyone should learn the soundboard.
That was part of the deal.
It was if you've ever seen, like, and I hate when they put women in this position, but it's like where they're just like, they're just kind of waiting for the compliment that's due them. And that's kind of what they made Dorothy do in this. If Dorothy had long, curly ringlets, she just would have been twirling a ringlet. Al puts the carrot in front of her, like the carrot of his love and affection. And she's just like, but she doesn't have, like, she's got a short bob.
Right.
And so she's just playing with his machine in this, like, lackadaisical way, waiting for him to, like, admit that he loves her. And it's a bad position for her to be in. Like, she should have just, like, throw him down, sit on his face, do it, Dorothy, just do.
They should have she should have set her eagle clit on his face a long, long time ago. And maybe she knew that she wouldn't be able to date a cop. And so she was just fucking, like, negging him, you know, until he gives in. And then she's like, just because people like attention sometimes and they'll, like, make someone think they like them, you know, just so they can feel like they're liked, you know. And then she wanted to try that. But also, Dorothy never gets laid. She dates the worst men. She dates married men, priests, like people that are just unavailable.
Yeah.
She'll fall in love with priests, married men. Just she never gets lucky. And then the one time she gets lucky, she fucking just says, sorry, like, I know you're probably, like, 2 years from retirement, but I can't fucking risk that by getting, like that guy's probably gonna be retired in, like, a heartbeat, you know, like,
This is his last big job.
Yeah. What? Yeah. You don't know.
The big McDowell gym steakout. That was it. Yeah. That was going to close. Yeah.
The big Martha steakout.
Yeah.
Martha. There's going to be a Martha in jail. I think Martha kind of looked like a lesbian.
What was the man's name? Did we get that?
I don't know. Jim? Did you say Jim?
Is it just Jim McDowell?
No, I don't know if they
Jim
ever
McDowell.
Say...
Jim
just,
McDowell?
I've been calling him Mr. Yeah. McDowell.
Mr. McDowell.
Jewel Thief McDowell?
Jewel Thief McDowell. Okay, and so the next scene was when it really got really weird because...
This was my favorite scene.
So George fucking Clooney is sitting on Dorothy's bed because they're sharing, so Dorothy's sleeping with Sophia, and so they have this whole bedroom to themselves, and then Blanche has moved out of her giraffe print dress and she's wearing like this fuchsia like beautiful satin top night top,
yeah,
with this
jewel tone.
Yeah, it caught the light really well.
Yeah, caught the light very well. And then she's wearing this flowery night robe, and comes into the bedroom, and she says, "I have the towels, extra towels for you." But I don't think she was carrying. Was she carrying towels?
She was. She lays them on the end of the bed. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So she carries towels in, and she's sort of like George Clooney is in a very, like, open position.
He's kind of like that was it like the Burt Reynolds Cosmopolitan thing, like, where he's, like, laid out sideways? It was like that on the bed, but he was fully clothed. Like Clooney's fully clothed.
Even
but he
wearing
was
shoes in bed.
Wearing shoes in bed, but he's kind of propped up on the pillows. It looks inviting.
Yeah.
The whole scene looked inviting. The lights were dimmed.
Right.
It looked, yeah.
She was either going to ride him and ride him hard, or they already did it and maybe decided that this wasn't for them.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm.
It was established within the first 30 seconds of the episode that she wanted to have a threesome with him and Al.
And maybe it happened. Who knows?
Yeah.
They could have,
probably,
the gem thieves are sleeping. Time to make an Eiffel Tower out of this woman.
We have a break. Let's, yeah. This broad is willing.
This broad, which
wanna,
is good police language.
Steal,
like,
yeah. These
this
gems.
I have emeralds down here.
I have blue emeralds. Blue emerald balls.
If you guys both fit in here, you'll make a pearl.
Oh my god. Okay.
I'm pretty sure they DP'd her.
All right. I don't disagree with you, but...
Does this podcast have fans that's good with Photoshop?
DP Photoshop?
Rue McClanahan getting fucked by George Campanella and George Clooney. And I'm calling them by their real names because I actually want this to happen in real life. I like to think about this offset. It clearly didn't happen on the show, but I guarantee, like, at the rap party, they were like, well, we've been kind of flirting with this idea the whole time. Let's do it.
This shit happened, man. And so then they start to sort of talk about, she starts talking about her son, how she would not be okay with him being a cop because you carry a gun around and that's bewildering for her. And I don't know.
She worries enough that about him, and he's an accountant.
Yeah.
Yeah, CPA.
Oh, he was an accountant. Oh, I thought he's at CNA, so I thought nurse.
She said CPA.
CPA.
Yeah. Okay, never mind.
It was
men
weird
weren't allowed to be nurses in the 80s.
Yeah.
This is where it got ambiguous, because she walks into the room and says, oh, I've got some fresh towels for you, which sounds like it's going to be sex. And then...
Just towels.
And then she says... You remind me of my son, Matthew. And I'm like, ooh, that's weird. Because, 20 minutes ago, showtime, she just said, that she wanted to fuck him.
Right.
And now she's like, now you remind me of my son. And then it kind of gets
maybe
flirtatious.
She wants to fuck her son.
And she said, and I wrote this down because it was crazy. Oh, she said, you remind me of my son, but he doesn't carry a gun. And then Clooney says, I don't need my mama's permission to carry a gun. And I was like, is there, are they going to fuck of now? A porno. Yeah, I was like, that... this is so sexy to me. Yeah. Like, this is like,
I don't need hottest. My mama's permission. Yeah. Yeah. And he says it with like a southern
yeah, draw. That's where he switches to southern accent. Yeah. Like, I don't need my mama's permission.
This guy has issues, dude.
Yeah.
Miami does weird things to you. I mean, yeah, because that's... I mean, it's a city where people come from other places.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a convergence of like Southern and Cuban and New York. It's a big like East Coast kind of mecca. Yeah.
When they were performing that scene, they must have felt like, this is really awkward. Like, what was the point of that scene if there wasn't like, you know, some dickhead showing later on? Like, it was just really... strange for me.
I felt like that scene, I didn't get it either until the end of the show, because what happens next, I think this was to build sympathy for Bobby. Is getting that his name, shot. Bobby? Clooney's character, Bobby?
Bobby.
Bobby. Yeah. I think they were trying to like build sympathy for him and show that, you know, he might be handsome and everything, but he's got a lot going on. He's a tough guy and he can take a bullet. I think that's what they were trying to build.
But like, they probably did that before they casted George Clooney, because George Clooney in and of himself, you do not need to build sympathy for him because he is an Adonis and the audience automatically would love him. So
yeah, despite his multiple accents
multiple changing accents and his crazy fucking mullet. So then he says what I thought was weird was like, I don't get a home cooked meal a lot because my mom lives in Oregon. Is it okay if every now and then I come and stop by?
Yeah.
And I was just like, what? When did she cook for him? Like, I don't know. Like,
I know. Like,
has she ever cooked in an episode?
She doesn't cook.
She doesn't really cook. Like, no.
I felt like that was very sexist of
home
him.
Home cook was, it was very sexist.
I was like, it got creepy because then he was like, you know, well, hey, if we're not going to fuck, what's the next thing women do? Cook. And then he's like, yeah, I know, I haven't had a good home-cooked meal in a while. Why don't you whip me something? It just felt like really chauvinist. Really
chauvinist.
Hey, your body looks like you could make a good casserole. You can put some noodles and some cheese and some meat together.
By home-cooked meal.
Yeah, just like my mom.
What if by home-cooked meal she meant
her vagina? Me. Probably.
Yeah.
She's like, all right, you mean, yeah.
Yeah. And then he, like, home-cooked meal, and then he points at her vagina. Because that's what she can cook up. That's the only thing she's cooked ever, you know? Her vagina. Okay, and so the next scene, so then we hear dramatic music. And that's when we know something's going to happen. And we see George Clooney sort of, like, leans his head back, and we see him relaxing, which was kind of like, it was odd to see that.
It was foreshadowing.
Like, he's gonna relax. And so then we see Al Mullins in the kitchen with the headphones, and he's like, he's just like listening. And he starts shuffling in his chair, and he's like, the exchange is going down.
What exchange?
Because everyone knows when you're a gem thief, you book an exchange right after a dinner party.
Like it was, exactly.
And so you're like, we can kill two birds with one stone, don't worry. You make the lasagna, and then you call the mafia and get the jewels down here, but not until after 8:30 when we're done having after company's gone, you know. And so,
you know, I would have liked to have seen the same scene that opened the show, where like, because the McDowells were over at their house, like at the lady's house, and then there's that scene where Sophia's like, "Yeah, have we overstayed our welcome?" Late. And then I would have loved to have seen the same thing happen at the McDowell's house, where the McDowell's are anxiously waiting for the exchange, but the ladies want to stay and keep chatting.
Yeah.
And then somebody, like, let's say, like, you know, Blanche is like, "Hey, have we overstayed our welcome? You know, sorry if we have." And like, too late. And then the McDowell's like shove them out,
right.
And then immediately the Jewel guys, the mafia guys, or whoever, jump out of the bushes the same way the cops came up to the door in the beginning of the show. Like, there's like, that could have been like, you can just reverse that pattern.
Reverse that. Yeah, that would have been great. Oh.
I don't know if that made any sense.
Golden
I got way
girls.
Too excited there, guys. I'm sorry.
You will listen back to this and it will make perfect sense to you because we were fine. And so, yeah, after the incest scene, that's what I called it here. Okay, and thanks. Okay, so then he gets up. Al Mullins gets up, and he's like, he holds up his gun, like, because they they know they have guns, or like because they have a search warrant, I guess, even though they don't. You know, there was, you know, because obviously they just got the bug in that night. How can they have time to get a search warrant? So he's like, all right, guy, is all right. Come, it's going. Bobby, come. It's going down. Let's run out of this house, waving guns, and just let's just fucking shoot this out. Like,
yeah,
like basically.
And all the gals follow them. They all come from the same place. They all come down the hallway.
Yeah.
And they're all in their nightgowns, and they follow them almost to danger. And the guys are like, "No, we're gonna go take care of this." And Mullen says, like, no, everybody, get down. Get down and stay down. And then they...
Yeah.
This is the weirdest part. Get down and stay down. If somebody told you to get down and stay down, I think I would get on my belly and lay flat, like, under a table or something. They form... A
like
formation
a
that looks like the Jamaican bobsled team in Cool Runnings, where they're just learning how to be together. Yeah. Like, they get up next to the couch they sideways,
cool
and they
runnings.
All like lock legs around each other and hold each other.
It's like they're like forming
they're
like a back rub chain or something.
Yeah,
like they're gonna braid each other's hair.
Yes, exactly.
And
that's not getting down.
Dorothy's, that is not getting down.
And then they did this weird thing where, and this reminded me of like the Three Stooges, where they took turns with exclamations as new information was revealed. So like, somebody says, I'm scared. And the next person says, me too. And then the next person says, I'm scared too. And then Dorothy says, I'm scared for Bobby and Al. Like all in a row.
Right. Really, really fast.
Yeah.
And then you hear a gunshot. Two gunshots. So Martha got shot in the face, I'm assuming.
I hope so. What a dum-dum. She deserves it.
And they're like, no, we were just kidding. These jewels are fake. Like, we're playing Monopoly.
For fake pirates.
This is part of her sex life. So then we hear two gunshots. And then Dorothy's like, Al, it could be Al. Like, and then she sort of like tries to go help him.
Half-assed.
Half-assedly tried.
Yeah.
Because
if she really wanted to help him, she could have ripped away from Blanche's tiny grip.
Yeah.
It was
really awkward. Like, it was like a fake... It was like a high school play where it's like, you can't run off stage, but somebody has to act like they're going to hold you back.
Yeah.
And so, like, Blanche is just sort of loosely hanging onto her nightgown, and she just gives, like, and, like, tries to go, and then, like, stays back. And we missed something very fun.
Oh,
in the midst of all this is very dark material.
It is.
In the midst of all of it, somebody says, what was that noise? And what was it, gang?
Sophia farted. She has to. She's like,
one of those gunshots was just her fart.
I think all the gunshots are just her fart.
they were guns loaded with Sophia's farts. And so then they just sort of wait around for something to happen. Al runs in, leaves the door open.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bobby's bleeding somewhere from the shoulder, quote unquote shoulder. Martha's face is shot off, or someone is dead. I don't know what, because he must have handcuffed everybody in 20 seconds. Like, handcuffed everybody, or gotten their guns, or like killed everybody.
We don't know what happened.
No.
He just comes in. So the ladies are sitting there for a really... This show's like 22 minutes long. The show is 22 minutes long. And I feel like we're watching them for a long time just sit there quivering by the couch. And then Mullins comes in and he comes around the back of the couch and he picks up a telephone and he says, "Hi, Miami PD. My partner's been shot. Right. The stakeout went bad." Or
doesn't
whatever.
Even dial.
Yeah, it doesn't dial. Picks it up. "My partner's been shot." And then that's when the women do the same thing again. Right. "Oh, no. Oh, my God." Like they, right. all these like reactions down the row. And then Mullins runs back out, still leaving the door open, and then right. sitting on the floor. He gives them no information. What's going on at the McDowell's house?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Two what shots. We don't happened. Know where the bullets are.
They're probably still their neighbors, to be quite honest. They're probably right. just still jewel thieves.
Yeah, yeah. It was the weirdest
jewel
thing.
Gun-toting jewel thieves.
And that's where yeah, that was the other thing. Like, I never would have thought either of the McDowells to be violent characters at all.
Right. So maybe they didn't have weapons. Maybe they were just like
Clooney dropped his gun is what happened.
Did he drop? Yeah. Okay.
He was thinking that's about that home cooked meal from Oregon and was like,
he's definitely the Przbyszewski of this couple. If you guys. If you guys watch The Wire.
Right. Oh my God.
I think what happened was like, So there was like an exchange. So they're exchanging a suitcase of money, I'm assuming, for a bag with a dollar sign, and with another suitcase full of gems. That's what I just assume. Like, here you go.
But who else was there? Who else was there for the exchange? That's what's weird. So Bobby gets shot. So there's an exchange, which means there's at least one other person.
Right.
Also, jewel thieves go and steal jewels, and I would think they would take them somewhere, not invite them to their neighborhood. Like, hey, come pick up all the jewels we stole.
You gotta go to the black market appraiser or
right.
something.
Yeah,
to
you could... Fly out of the country with that shit. Like, get on a cruise ship and go to... Yeah, like, I don't understand how that was all
there
happening.
There was nothing explained about what happened. And then we never know. Like, Bobby never explains it in the hospital. It was just like, yeah, so I got shot in the shoulder and I passed out. And then that was it. Like, that's all the information we got.
I'm too handsome to have any more details.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Well, we were saying that, like, the bullet was, like, heading towards his face, and then he was like, "Too handsome! Too handsome!"
Yeah. Like, it just went to his shoulder.
Yeah, it saw that strong jawline. It was just like, no, we can't fuck up that face. This guy's got a career ahead of him. We're just going to hit the shoulder where nobody will notice.
Oh, he said, like, it jumped off his chin. Like his chiseled chin, it went into his shoulder.
Also, he has a gunshot shoulder wound, and he's laying in the hospital bed.
Mm.
But he has no bandages on his shoulder. It's just his arm is in a sling from the elbow to the wrist. Like, where's the wound?
He should be like crazy with his shoulder.
Yeah,
up
there should be like a machine around his neck, and yeah,
and like in a contraption. But no, he's okay. Doctor's orders, take him out in the sun deck.
This is like Miami New Age medicine. Like, hey, you just got shot. We're going to take you. He says we need to take you to the sun deck.
Yeah.
Where you get better.
Stop babying him.
Which, if anybody
get
knows.
Out in the sun.
If anybody knows anything about the power of the sun on open wounds, he'll have melanoma there in like 4 years. That's insane.
Oh, we'll just get you a Cubano sandwich. It'll be okay.
Also, that they knew that there was like an ex. If they knew that there was an exchange going, they were like the exchange. Wouldn't they like get a SWAT team or backup or
no
just
backup.
No backup? No one was there. They were just no. We're gonna run in there waving our guns. Hey, you guys! Boom, boom,
yeah,
boom.
Real stealthy.
Like. Are you kidding me? Like, you guys are... Okay. You guys weren't even cops.
They weren't even cops.
I don't know.
They
I
just
think
go
they
house
were
to
just,
house
getting free food.
They were just handsome.
Maybe they were like, you know how Rose was talking about her dad was just a cop on the weekend? Maybe
that's
that was the guys. This just took place from Friday to Sunday. And they were just weekend cops. They're farmers during the week. And they're
cops.
Weekend cops.
There was a whole interloop. They just took pictures. Yeah. They're goofy pictures.
Goofy
took
pictures with Martha's face cut
dead
off.
McDowell's.
Martha's fucking gray-haired wig mullet is like scalped off her head, and they're just taking photos.
That's why George Clooney is just in the weird sling that was part of a picture. Just like, I got injured in a shootout.
Oh, it was so weird. Like, I'm thinking about who else was at the exchange is crazy, because when they're in the hospital, Mullen says, everything's fine. The McDowells have been arraigned, and they're going away to wherever for a long, long time.
So they're not dead, apparently.
They just got their fucking faces shot off. What happened with the second bullet?
What happened with the exchange, the other people?
The exchange, where are those people? There's
gotta be a second party to exchange. So,
and then as Blanche is wheeling Clooney out, like, she's taking him to the sun deck where he can heal. Like, she says, I want you to tell me the whole thing again from the beginning. From the moment you went out the door to... Yeah. And then it, like, fades out.
From the moment you pulled your cock from my mouth. To the moment you took a photo with Martha's fucking shot off face.
I want to hear the story.
Right.
Tell me slowly about how you want me to your mother figure.
So weird.
It was so weird. God, it's terrible. Oh, man. And so then there was that moment where Dorothy is going to hook up with Mullins. And then Dorothy risked her life by even going to that house. But now she can't handle him risking his life, you know, even though... You know, the dummy was Bobby for getting shot. And so she says, no, I can't be with you, even though you're like the hottest guy I could land, you know. And then the moments is just like with a smirk, just like, oh, well, I can get it somewhere else.
Yeah. He was just like, yeah, is it,
no biggie.
Is it because, you know, you can't stand the fact of me like leaving every day and heading into danger? And she says, yes. And he goes, I've heard it before. That was his response. I've heard it all before. And he's fine.
That he's like the lone wolf cop kind of deal. Yeah. And so, yeah.
How many Bobbies has Mullins seen get shot for Mullins to be where he is in his career? Like, I feel like he's just always putting his Bobby, like in quotes, in danger. And like, that's how he survives. That's
Bobby the 15.
He's like, this is the third Bobby I've lost this week.
He threw Bobby in front of him to get the bullet.
I guarantee Mullins has a pocket full of jewels, too. He's cleaning that scene. Yep, right. He's doing that.
He's that's how large. They could afford their fucking Atari... fucking equipment, video game, video
that's
game
not
receiver.
Weekend cop equipment.
Yeah, exactly. He's only weekend working 2.5 days a week. That's a great point.
He didn't get that on eBay.
He's stealing from the scene.
All right, and so then Sophia has that bit where she's trying to hook him up with the doctor who we've seen him.
Dr. Tansy. Dr. Tansy. I don't know why I remember the name.
Yeah, it's just Dr. Tansy. And so, and then Mullins just smirks at her and like at the whole situation. He's like, oh yeah, he's going to hook up with this doctor.
Dumbass, fat-ass doctor.
Yeah, what a gimp. He's an extra in, like, every other episode. We've seen that guy before.
He's the white old guy.
He's probably a producer or something. And so we're left with many questions. Who shot Bobby, whatever. Nothing is answered, and then the episode just ends. And
no one gets laid.
That should have been a two-parter, I feel like. Maybe we could have like expanded that story a little bit, because there was so much going on.
Like, they could have been trapped in the house, Sophia's in the closet, like something. Yeah. There's a... Every now and then, Golden Girls, they like to take Golden Girls into like a dangerous place.
Yeah.
Like, there was an episode where like Rose shot a gun and almost killed Blanche, and that was just like...
There's a lot of gunplay on this, this show.
Oh my god.
It's just Miami.
It's just Miami.
That's just what it's like.
Maybe Miami Vice was at its peak here, and they're just like, we need to milk this shit, and we gotta, you know, make
just
it...
laying the ground for Dexter.
Yeah.
Which I know was kind of more of a knife show, but...
Right.
Yeah.
A knife show.
Yeah.
All right. And so... We did it, guys. We recapped the whole episode. Yay!
This was a dream.
Thank you, Isaac, for being here.
Thank you, guys.
Yay. And so this comes out and then let me look at the date. I never have the date prepared. But this comes out on September 9th. And so would you like to promote anything? What are you doing after that?
Oh, God. Okay, I actually have a calendar because I'm a big nerd. Let me look.
Oh, yeah, I have a calendar,
well, too. Well, September 9th, I will just be returning home from tour.
Woo.
But in October, October 1st through the 11th in New Orleans is Hell Yes Fest, which is like an amazing two-weekend comedy, improv, sketch, stand-up. Everything festival. It's so much fun, and there's amazing headliners this year, and you're going to be there, Anthony,
I will be there.
Which is going to be great. You're crashing with me, right?
I'm crashing with you, Isaac.
So that's probably the biggest thing. Check out hellyesfest.com.
It's going to be amazing. And where can people find you online? On Twitter and stuff.
At Isaac Kozel on Twitter. And I have a website. I hate saying it. IsaacKozel.com. But like, it's
that's a
dot com.
Website.
I mean,
you have a
it's just
com,
like I put stuff
net?
On it. I
have AnthonyDesimino.com.
Okay.
I have JimmyBryce.com.
Like, yeah, you got to get your own.
Okay, guys. Thank you. That's my website.
And Genevieve, where are you going to be? Where can we find you?
Actually, that weekend is, let's see, September 9th. Let's see. That's next weekend. We're actually doing a Bernie Sanders benefit at Speakeasy on the 18th.
Yay.
Go yeah. Bernie.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
September 18th.
September 18th. That's going to be great.
Cool.
Yeah. So, what else? Yeah. I'm at Genevieve Rice on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And I have GenevieveRice.com. I have not updated it since probably 2014. So... It's
you guys
just
make me feel good about my choices.
Yeah,
it's basically frozen in time. My headshot there is from a year and a half ago. So,
fantastic. All right,
that's about it.
All right, and I'm at Anthony Desimino on Twitter and Instagram. And after the 9th, I'm gonna be. The next show after that I have is the World Series of Comedy Festival in Las Vegas with Matt Storrs. We're in the same show on the 21st at 6 p.m. So if you're in Vegas, come check us out at the Tuscany Hotel. It's going to be super fun. And along with our own individual Twitters, the podcast also has a Twitter. It's Thank You For Being a Podcast. But as an acronym, TYFBAP, at TIFBAP. You can find us also on Instagram at TIFBAP. And you can find us on Facebook.com/ Thank You For Being a Podcast, Stitcher, iTunes, or any other platform you use to listen to us today. The next episode is Season 2, Episode 25, and it's titled A Piece of Cake. Thank you everyone for listening. Have a good day or night. Bye.
We love you.
Gonna stuff a chicken.
Gonna stuff the chicken.
Like my mama taught me.
Like my mama taught me.
Gonna take the chicken.